Im Namen des Vaters und des Sohnes und des Heiligen Geistes. Amen. Can you remember a time when you have been in pitch darkness? Perhaps it was as a child, hiding in a closet, playing hide and seek, or camping in the forest, away from the city lights. When I think of the dark, it is on a night of a new moon, driving to our home on the roads of Prince Edward Island. Most of our roads do not have lights. We rely only on our car. When there is no moon and no snow, the only way to know you are on the right road is to look for the yellow line on the pavement. The fields and the trees are all hidden in the darkness. The world around you becomes very small, limited to what you can see in front of you. I know this road like I know the back of my hand. Even in the darkness, when I take one particular turn, I know what will be on the other side. At the end of that turn, in the distance, I will see the lights of the harbor. The world all of a sudden becomes much bigger, as those small lights, still a few kilometers away, light up the ocean, the fields, and the forests around me. To begin this evening, Friedrich read from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. In the Earth's northern hemisphere, we are currently in the midst of the year's darkest days. It is a particular gift that we celebrate at Christmas, a celebration of light at this time of the year. The lights in our homes, in our church, even throughout the city, are made more beautiful against the dark sky. We all know that these lights are a symbol, a reminder of the light that God brings into the world. On this night, the light of peace. We read a great deal from the prophet Isaiah at Christmas time. Isaiah was writing during a time in the life of Israel and Judah of deep political strife and violence. Judah was surrounded by nations wanting to claim the Hebrews as their own. The king of Judah made an agreement with a larger power, the Assyrian king, to protect the people. He did not believe that God alone would save them. And as a result, the people had not heard from God in a very long time. It was a time of great oppression as they paid tribute to Assyria and the poor took the burden. And more painfully, everyone believed they had been abandoned by God. However, in the words of Isaiah tonight, we hear a reversal of that fortune. The people who have lived in despair for so long are now about to see something new. For the king is about to have a son, and he will return the people to God. Isaiah tells us this child who will become king will follow in the righteousness of King David, destroying the oppressor and raising up the oppressed once again, redistributing wealth to those from whom it had been taken. All evidence of war and the glory of war would cease. Who is this child? On this night, we answer, Jesus. However, that is not the case. This child, who Isaiah speaks of, is one who grew to be a king of Judah, named Hezekiah. He led the people of Judah to return to God again. He helped them to stop trusting in foreign kings, to remain steadfast, and to trust in God. Why does this matter, especially on this night, when we celebrate the birth of our King, our Messiah, Jesus? During the weeks before Christmas, the season of Advent, here at First, we have been reading from the prophets of the Old Testament as an act of solidarity and love for our Jewish siblings. On October 27th, 11 people died in the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This devastating act of violence is only the latest in a long and dark history of antisemitism in our world. One way Christians have contributed to antisemitism is to take the scriptures given to the Jewish people, what we call the Old Testament, and read them as if they are Christian texts. When we insert Jesus into the Old Testament, we neglect the meaning that these texts have for people today. And we do not have to. These texts alone speak something powerful to all people, Jews, Christians, people of any faith or people of no faith, without our turning them into prophecies about Jesus. Now we know there was a king, Hezekiah, who led the people out of a time of hopelessness back into the arms of God. Today, as we look to leaders to make lives better, especially the lives of those who are poor and struggling, it is important to remember that the end of oppression is not impossible. Leaders can and must lead the people into peace, breaking oppression. These are not lofty heavenly ideals. They are possible today. It happened with Hezekiah, and it can happen with us today. We experience so much oppression, even in this city, in one of the greatest countries in the world, according to the United Nations. Yet we have poverty, environmental destruction, violence against women, violence against transgendered and homosexual people, systemic racism. And we do not wait for a Messiah to come and take all these things away. Because tonight, the Messiah is here, in humanity, in us. As we carry the light of the Christ child out into the world, we are the campfire in a dark forest. We are the harbor lights at the end of a long drive. We are the ones to open the door to a hiding place. We are the light because God dwells in us. This is the wonder, the glory of Christmas. God was born to an ordinary couple to live an ordinary life in which he did extraordinary things. And as God did once, God does again and again, born into ordinary people to work for peace and to share hope, to encourage one another in the longest nights, that the light of a new day is coming. This night, may God's light break into your heart as the sunrise breaks the horizon. Let us return now to the story of Mary, Joseph, Jesus, the shepherds. Join them at the holy manger and rejoice in the good news. Amen.